from the number one sports site in the world.
Yahoo!
This is Yahoo Sports Radio.
YahooSportsRadio.com.
Welcome to the FC Yahoo Soccer Podcast.
Yelovich is an own goal! It's an own goal!
With your host, Joe Mago. From Yahoo Sports and Yahoo Sports Radio.
It's right! It's a landslide!
Joe Mago and all the insiders from the FC Yahoo Soccer Blog bring you coverage of soccer across the world.
Premier League,
MLS,
Champions League,
La Liga,
Serie A,
and Bundesliga. It's all the coverage from soccer across the world.
This is the FC Yahoo Soccer Podcast.
Oh, it's good in!
Right now. From the Yahoo Sports headquarters in Playa Vista, California, here's your host, Joe Mago.
Hey, I hope you're enjoying your summer of soccer. We certainly are. I'm Joe Mago, editor of the FC Yahoo blog on Yahoo Sports, and we have a packed house for this latest episode of the FC Yahoo Soccer Podcast. Back are the usual suspects, voices you have come to know and love, starting with Shahan Ahmed.
I don't think anyone's ever said they've loved my voice.
There's a first for everything, Shahan. Alex Baker.
Please Brexit through the gift shop on your way out.
Joey Galino.
I love Usual Suspects. Great movie.
And Kaiser Leander Charlakens, as usual.
I do not love Shahan's voice.
We also have our latest member to the FC Yahoo crew. You may have read his insights on Euro 2016. He is one of our summer interns, and he's making his debut on this FC Yahoo podcast. He is Henry Bushnell.
I've been debating whether to make my debut by announcing my international retirement or throwing my name into the ring for the England job.
All right, well, before we start talking soccer, Henry, how is your internship going so far?
It's going great. Can't complain doing an internship, watching soccer, and writing about it. Even if I do have to get up at 6 a.m. to do it, it's been great.
There hasn't been any hazing or anything, right? It's been people have treated you well?
Not that I can talk about on the podcast. No. There has not been anything.
Joe, let's not go down that road, okay?
I was just about to send him out to get us some coffee. So
I was going to ask, is he on a first-name basis yet with the baristas?
We actually, that's a sore subject at our office, our location. We don't have baristas here, unlike the big HQ in Sunnyvale, but we do have coffee, which is it's good enough. So to keep this tradition going, we have to give the shout out to the guy who makes this podcast possible, our producer, Alex Baccarain, a.k.a. Alex the Producer. And he waves to you all. Guys, we're down to the last eight in the European Championships, where we've seen sweatpants-wearing goalkeepers, tiny island nations making incredible runs, and the usual crash-out by England. Before we get to these quarterfinal previews, just want to get your guys' thoughts on how these Euros have gone, just with an easy thumbs up, thumbs down assessment, maybe. What do you guys think of the tournament so far and the new format? Leander, you start us off.
I'm a big hater of the format, as I am indeed a hater of a lot of things. I don't really see why it was necessary, except for lining pockets, obviously. But, you know, 16 teams is a great number. 32 teams is a great number because it gives you a straight group stage where the top two teams go through. Half of teams are eliminated, and it just it's sort of clean. When you go to 24, and now you create a system where third place teams, you know, some of them advance and some don't, it makes it a little bit messier, but it also makes the group stage much less relevant. The first round of games, the group stage was 36 out of the 51 games that will be played at this Euro, and that will serve to eliminate just 8 teams. And, you know, the round of 16 onwards will then eliminate another 15. But it's just, it makes that first stage to where you could win a game and lose two and still advance. So that first round just isn't all that relevant, and everybody knows it. I mean, there were teams that were blatantly playing for ties. It just wasn't that important to get points. And I felt like that diluted the urgency a little bit. But that said, the soccer's been quite good.
Yeah, I totally agree on the format. I think when you think about, like, the Premier League, for example, every weekend is so important because there is only, essentially, there's only one team that goes through at the end, right? The champion. When you compare that to American sports like basketball or hockey, where you have more than half the teams getting to the playoffs, it really, as Leander said, it really waters down the regular season. In this case, it waters down the group stage. That said, I think it's worked out for Euro 2016 because we have had our underdog stories, which is one of the things that this new 2014 field did make possible, the Hungaries and the Icelands. You obviously Iceland coming through. But in the end, you have the best teams, or most of the best teams in the quarterfinals. You have the marquee matchups, Italy, Germany. So I think they've sort of lucked out in this first 2014 tournament, the first time they've done it. It went well, and it's done its job.
Yeah, this is going to be surprising coming from me, the resident MLS apologist, but I agree that it's resulted in some kind of irrelevant matches like you would get in an MLS regular season where as long as you can kind of squeak through to the playoffs, you're still in the ring. Like Henry says, the English Premier League, everything counts, every match counts, and you kind of want to see that at this level of European championships. But I also think it's been an entertaining tournament. I've been enjoying the upsets. I've been enjoying Iceland's run. It's nice to see Wales do so good, and it's nice to see England predictably crash out as we all expected them to.
I'm going back and forth on this because on one hand it is a lot of teams. I was confused as hell in the group stage, you know, between the third place teams, who advances on what tiebreaker, what does this team need to do? You know, it just seemed like a lot of gobbledygook to me, and I think we could have done without it. On the other hand, I kind of think back to something Leander wrote about before the tournament that was kind of discussing this issue. And one of the points that he made, the question is, you know, will Albanian soccer, I think it was, be better off in the future for this having happened? And it probably will, you know, even though they didn't reach the knockout stages, this will help their foundation moving forward. So I do think it's good for teams like that. And I do think that, you know, I'm enjoying the hell out of this Iceland run. And then I also look at, you know, what's really changed. We have a bunch of power nations in the quarterfinals. We have the complimentary England flame out. So, you know, I think I need more than one tournament, as odious as that sounds, to see if I really, really detest this new format.
I really hate it, Joey, when you throw my own arguments in my face. But at the same time, Northern Ireland's progressed. They won one game and lost two games. They had a negative record. They scored just two goals. Granted, they also conceded just two, but they went through with a losing record. Portugal didn't win a single game. They tied all of their group stage games, and they went through. I think that's sort of problematic when a tournament's supposed to be a championship, and it just felt like it kind of bunged up the whole process. Although I agree with Henry that it could have been worse. I mean, the Europe is lucky enough, and it's probably the only continent that can pull this off, and I'm going to sound like the Euro snob that I am, that it can actually produce 24 teams that can sort of be competitive, and all the games have been close. The scoring's been quite low for the most part, but it's felt to me like that whole first round was just kind of, you know, very slow going until we finally got to the meteor games.
So my whole take on this is, by the time we get to the final, which is inevitably going to be Iceland versus Portugal, if we didn't have that first round of games, that final would mean nothing to us. So I think the format makes it so that final will be relevant, and that's really all I'm going to say about that.
So it seems like we're a little lukewarm about this new format. Which I think we all expected that, you know, there was a lot of uncertainty how it was going to play out. But, you know, that said, we've got one side of the bracket was absolutely loaded and made some unbelievable matchups, and we'll get to the quarterfinal previews. But what do you guys think has been the biggest or the best storyline, you know, outside of, we can talk about, devote this entire podcast to Iceland, But what do you think has been the best or biggest storylines?
I'm going to go with the fact that even with the expanded field, you know, a lot of people love the Cinderellas. A lot of people love to see the traditional powers, you know, make deep runs and stuff like that. I am actually really enjoying, not that I'm rooting against big powers, but you're seeing a lot of teams and big names that are kind of exiting early. And, you know, I wrote about Spain yesterday and how this kind of was the final nail, the final death knell, if you will, of their great international dynasty. You got a lot of big teams like, you know, Sweden didn't advance to the knockout stages with Zlatan. You got some other big names out there. So I guess with the proliferation of opportunity for these lesser nations to upset the bigger nations and kind of, you know, these bigger nations to stumble and not make it as far as we think. You know, I'm enjoying that aspect of it. I'm enjoying seeing some of this kind of new blood in there, and I'm kind of enjoying seeing these which teams, you know, I think I tweeted it the other day. You could make a World Cup group out of four or five of the teams that didn't make it out of the group stages this time around. And so I'm enjoying that aspect of it in particular.
I've enjoyed seeing some baffling managerial decisions and squad selections, and then contrasting that with Italy and what Antonio Conte has done with this Italian team that a lot of people came into the tournament thinking was certainly an outsider compared to what past Italian teams had been. And they've really taken the field by storm. Obviously, the Spain game stands out, but it really all four games – we'll say three games, other than the Ireland game they didn't really care about. In a tournament, and really in international tournaments all the time, they're not as tactical as club soccer because managers don't have as much time to work with their teams. But Conte really has this Italian team playing a system that is not—it's not totally defensive. It's really—it's they press Spain. They took away what Spain tried to do, as Joey wrote about yesterday. And so Italy has been really impressive to watch for me, especially from a tactical point of view.
Yeah, I think what Conte has done, you know, he acknowledged that, you know, they're not the most talented side, and they're definitely not. But he is getting all, you know, everyone to. You know, push together to work together. I think that's the most important thing. And they're getting enough goals, you know, whether that this is going to last is a, you know, they got a tough test against Germany. But, you know, for Chelsea fans, this is fantastic because, you know, Antonio Conte is coming in. He's going on this run in the Euros. Eden Hazard has decided he is going, you know, as Eden Hazard is so good that he could, you know, when he doesn't want to play, he can sabotage an entire Premier League season and get a legendary coach fired. So I'm glad to see, as a Chelsea supporter, that he's ready. He's ready for the 2016-17 season. Sean?
Yeah, I mean, Antonio Conte should get used to playing with not that much talent. I mean, he's going to Chelsea, right? So it should fit right in with what he's got there.
Blatant troll. Blatant troll.
No, but in all seriousness,
they're talent. They're just underachieving. It's underachieving talent. So let's get this.
Yeah,
get this
it
right.
Doesn't really count when they choose not to play. But anyway, I mean, I think yeah, Italy's been a great story. I do think, you know, Gareth Bale and Wales have been a great story too. And I think a lot of the, as much as the format is under question, I think the matchups it's created have been, for me, the best story of the tournament. The fact that we did get Italy-Spain in the round of 16, the fact that we're going to get Italy versus Germany, I think, you know, Wales-Belgium is going to be a great match too. And then Lewandowski, Ronaldo, Poland-Portugal setting up. I think it's by accident, and granted one side of the bracket is much weaker than the other, but it does provide the opportunity for Belgium to get to a final. And unless they really muck it up, which they could, but the formatting kind of actually led into creating these matchups that I think in the end we're all going to look back at and be really, really pleased with how they turn out.
But that was true in the old format as well. I mean, when the tournament was so concentrated, every group was stacked. I mean, if you look back to 2012, Group B is Germany, Portugal, Denmark, Netherlands. Group C was Spain, Italy, Croatia, Republic of Ireland. Group D, England, France, Ukraine, Sweden. We didn't have any groups like that this time around. And back then in the quarterfinals, you had Spain, France, England, Italy. You know, I feel that by diluting the tournament, we're actually getting fewer great matchups just because it's spread around a little bit more. And granted, that makes it a little more appealing when they do happen, when you're not being clubbed over the head with them. But there used to be a lot of that beforehand, too. That's basically my big gripe with it.
Yeah, I go back and forth on that. On the one hand, I do think that this tournament field is, like we said, it's kind of an awkward number. It is bigger. It does kind of offer more opportunities for the worst teams to go further and do more damage, stuff like that. But I also think that, you know, I go back to 2012 when England was not expected to do anything, and all they really had to do was get out of their group stage, and then technically they made it to the quarterfinals, and it was something that they actually celebrated and something that they lauded Roy Hodgson for doing. And so, you know, this tournament, there you have to do more to achieve more, I think, if that makes sense. And if you're asking me if I totally despise the idea of having all of this soccer, even though I know it just lines the pockets, like we've said, of the rich, you know, UEFA people and all that. If you're asking me am I sad that we have all these matchups and we have all these games to watch and write about and talk about, I can't say that I do. That's why, you know, or I can't say that's a bad thing for me. So that's why I'm torn.
Yeah, I mean, kind of to go into, I agree with you, Leander. Obviously, you're going to get monster matchups in the European Championships. That's kind of the nature of the tournament. That's why we actually love watching it. But I mean, the alternative, when you look at it, or when I look at it, is what do we do? Do we stack? You know, I like having 24 teams in there just because I do think that it gives more teams a shot, and you have the potential for more upsets, and that's always going to help the sport for me. But how do you? You know, I think that kind of middle ground should be possibly get rid of the round of 16 and have it go straight to quarterfinals from a 24 field tournament, maybe have wider groups so you have more group play. And I think that would be kind of a middle ground. I'm not sure how that would work with the numbers, though. It does get a little convoluted. Leander, what's your response to that?
I think we just fixed it, Shahan. If you had four groups of six and only the top two teams in each group went to the quarterfinals straight to no round of 16, that would make everything more intense.
Yeah, I think that actually would be a good solution. And I think that's something that they should potentially look at. And I understand you're getting rid of four extra matches, which is, you know, piles and piles of money. But ultimately, I do think that, yeah, that would make it so that you don't have this problem of third place teams that had three draws qualifying, which we all can agree isn't necessarily the best look for any tournament.
What will you do with your royalty money, Shahan? I'm going to buy a helicopter.
Henry, you want to get in here?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, I think that sort of that, to go back to Joey's point and also what just Shahan said, like, yes, we have the upsets, but at the same time, do these upsets really mean anything? Because Portugal, as much like they Portugal by all means should have crashed out at the group stage, and now they are a couple games away with fairly favorable matchups from a final. So the group stage may have been fun, and you know that game against Hungary was awesome, but in the end, did it really mean that much? No, and I think that's been the biggest problem with this format.
I think what we've learned here is that if there is a vote, an exit vote for this Euros tournament.
Oh God, Joe! Please don't.
We all know how Leander would vote.
Yeah, I mean it's taken away a little bit. I think what makes the Euro special, right? It's that every team is good. It's that every game is going to be an important game and is going to be a relevant game, and that there's a lot less fat to trim than there is even in the World Cup. So I just kind of miss that a little bit.
Yeah, I think we can all agree it's watered it down a little bit. But I think that what we've lost with that, we've also kind of gained with the opportunities it has given to the Icelands and some of these underachiever teams that have suddenly come in and had good runs. And like Joey, I'm not going to argue for less soccer to watch. Like, we've had more matches. It's been pretty cool. Yeah, there's been some duds for certain. And the best teams are not the ones necessarily that are getting through because of the weird third place rule and what have you. But I'm still pretty on board with this tournament. I think it's been a good Euros. I think it's been pretty enjoyable.
Cool. Let's take a timeout. After the break, we will preview each of the quarterfinals. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the FC Yahoo Soccer Podcast, direct from the FC Yahoo Soccer blog at yahoosports.com. And if you're looking for a sports radio morning show that is just a little bit more entertaining and has a little bit of fun, along with all your coverage of sports every morning, check out the Steve Zabin Show, direct from Yahoo Sports Radio.
I guess your friend Roseman here, Scott, your people, doesn't keep kosher, huh? Pepperoni and sausage.
I guess not.
Shonda.
My people. You're a guy whose last name ends in a consonant.
You're allowed to say sausage, right? You just can't eat it. Or is it?
Just do what you want, but no, by the rules of kosher, yeah, you're not supposed to eat pork product.
Eat, but you can say the word.
Of course you can.
Oh, okay, good. Just check. If you were to rank your pizza meats,
here we go.
Go ahead and rank them.
Which
pepperoni?
Throw me some meats.
Pepperoni.
You've got
one,
the meats, right?
Canadian bacon.
That's not bad.
Two.
Yeah.
Sausage. Three.
Okay.
Hamburger meat. Four. No, wait a minute. Barbecue chicken is three. Sausage, hamburger.
Pineapple and ham? Those are okay.
No.
Hawaiian?
Steve Zabin. Mornings, 6 a.m. until 10 a.m. Eastern on Yahoo Sports Radio. Listen live and check out the podcast of The Steve Zabin Show. YahooSportsRadio.com. It's time to get back to everything. Football and soccer from across the world. This is the FC Yahoo Soccer Podcast from Yahoo Sports Radio and Yahoo Sports. Once again, your host, Joe Ago.
We are back. This is the FC Yahoo Podcast. I'm Joe Ago, and I'm here talking soccer with Shahan Ahmed, Alex Baker, Joey Galino, Leander Charlakins, and our intern, Henry Bushnell. Guys, it's time to preview these Euro 2016 quarterfinals, and we're going to try something different. Hopefully, those who are listening will find it insightful and entertaining. That is the objective anyway. Instead of our usual roundtable discussion and debate, we have assigned each of the eight remaining teams to one of our FC Yahoo experts to make a case why that team will go through to the semifinals. After hearing both sides of the matchup, the rest of us will vote on the quarterfinal winner based on the arguments made for both teams. All right, are we ready? Let's get started. We begin with Poland versus Portugal, which kicks off the Euro's last eight on Thursday in Marseille. Up first to talk about Poland is Alex Baker.
All right, we're rolling. Are we timing?
Here we go. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I forgot to explain. The guys have a minute to present their case. If they exceed that time, we will hear a buzzer from my phone. So go ahead.
All right. Poland, they're in their third Euros, first having qualified in 2008. And they've gone through this point in the Euros without losing a game. They've only given up one goal. I think that manager Adam Nawalka has got the team very well organized. They've got a solid back four. Fabianski, who's taken over for Szczesny, who was injured, has been excellent in goal. He's made some key saves. The only goal they've actually given up in this tournament was Shaqiri's bicycle, which is probably the best goal that you're likely to see at these Euros. So I think they're pretty solid. The main thing with Poland is it's going to be a question of getting the attack into play. And we haven't seen a lot from Lewandowski yet. I know he hasn't scored, but what he has been doing is taking a lot of heat and creating opportunities. He's the most fouled player in this tournament. So he's opened up opportunities for, pardon my pronunciation, Blazikowski and Milik, who've both been able to get on the score sheet. So I think they have a really good chance of neutralizing this Portugal side, which, let's face it, has relied on a few moments of brilliance from Ronaldo to get where they've got. They've not been the best team. They have no passing rhythm. They have no real striker. Ronaldo has more shots off target than any player in this tournament. So I think there's a pretty good chance that if they could sit on Ronaldo, put him off, then they can hit on the counter and get a goal and get through this round.
Thanks, Alex. The buzzer went off. I don't know if you heard that.
Yeah, I mean, oh, yeah. We heard it.
All right. thanks for that. And now the case for Portugal from Shahan.
Well, I mean, I think Portugal's actually improved over the course of the tournament. They have gotten a lot of shots. They haven't entirely been on target. But, Nani's actually been one of those players that's played pretty darn well this tournament. And Ronaldo, I don't think he's been at his best, but he did come through when they needed him to in the end of the group stages with a couple goals that helped them advance. Granted, the formatting definitely helped them out. I think, a player to really watch is Quaresma. Ricardo Quaresma coming in off the bench has really sparked this team into life late. I'm not sure entirely why he doesn't start. He may actually start in this game. But really, when you look at it, I don't think Poland's been anything overwhelming. I don't think Lewandowski's really gotten going. And I think Portugal's actually improved over the course of the tournament. So it's hard for me not to actually pick Portugal if you were asking me completely as a neutral. And that's with Ronaldo not really firing on all cylinders. I think just overall, I think they have better team balance this time around than they've really had in the past ever. Is that good enough, Joe?
Wow, that's amazing. You actually, that was a perfect minute almost. So, yeah, no, that was great. So now it's time to vote. Based on what you heard from these two compelling arguments, who at the Stade Velodrome will be celebrating a quarterfinal victory? Poland or Portugal? Joey?
You know, I want to pick Poland because I think that they are a better overall team. But as we saw last round, Ronaldo is basically an untreatable super germ, and he's going to somehow find a way to get Portugal past them. I pick Portugal.
Okay. Henry?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Portugal as well. They struggled during the group stage, but they created more chances. They created enough chances to do more than draw three games. I think they've got more talent than Poland. I'm going with Portugal.
Wait, hold on. You guys are basing these decisions on what you heard from your fellow colleagues, right?
And I'm a heck of an order.
All right, Leander.
Poland.
All right.
Poland.
Leander.
All right.
How did I know?
I am going with Poland as well, but for our official FC Yahoo prediction, it is we have a draw. So maybe I should
penalties basically.
Penalties. All right. Maybe I should just change it to Portugal just so we have something definitive.
Now, you know what? I'll bite that bullet, and I have to believe in the better team here. I didn't mean to come off as disrespectful to Ronaldo. Both sides make compelling arguments. He's a great player, but I will retract my previous statement, and I will say that Poland will win, so we don't have a tie.
You basically just LeBron this whole process.
Yeah, I did. I'm a champ, baby.
All right, let's move on. Wales, Belgium on Friday in Lille. Joey Gallino has Wales. Leander Charlakens has Belgium. Joey, start us off.
All right, guys. Don't be fooled by the 4-0 against Hungary. The only thing Belgium rediscovered is that they look really good against subpar competition. And as presently constituted, Wales is not that. Belgium does have a decisive talent advantage, I will grant you, especially in the attack. But Wales has Premier Leaguers all over the back. They won't be intimidated. They won't worry about the physicality. They also have the best single player in the match in Gareth Bale. And just look at the last round. We just talked about it. When Portugal was overmatched against Croatia, it only takes guys like Ronaldo and Bale one moment to make a major impact. And I don't think any of these Belgians right now are quite at that level. Their main problem is they kind of have a lot of attackers who are best playing through the middle, but some are forced out wide. Wales' midfield of Ramsey, Allen, Ledley has been excellent this tournament. They can be a major disruption in that regard. They can force them to play in their uncomfortable spots. And Mark Wilmots, the head coach of Belgium, has taken a lot of flack, and people don't think he's a great tactician and all that. But I think the real problem is I'm not sure the team selections were on point in the first place. And he doesn't seem to be able to, for the squad, for Euros, I mean, and he doesn't seem to be able to properly motivate this golden generation of talent, especially in big games. That won't do against Wales, which is played with fire. Oh. Excuse me. I'm almost done.
Keep going.
Played with fire in each match and gets more out of their collective parts than they should. They can play a 3-5-2 or a 5-3-2 to be more conservative. I imagine they'll come out with the 5-3-2 in this game, although with Belgium without major wide threats and with fullbacks who don't really like to get forward, it might not be an issue. Don't be fooled by the bigger name. Don't be fooled by the bigger talent. Wales is going to advance.
Now that's a stump speech. That's what I'm looking for. That the passion, the energy. Thanks, Joey. Now it's time for Leander to talk about Belgium and its talented side. Lander, you have 60 seconds.
All right, so unlike Joey, I'm not just going to rattle off a script because I don't need to. Because Belgium, if Wales has a Premier League player in every position, Belgium has a Premier League star in every position. They're a team that can even afford to lose a guy like Vincent Kompany and still put together a cohesive defense. In their first game against Italy, yes, they were tactically outmaneuvered. But head coach Mark Wilmots, it's actually not true what you say. He definitely can motivate them, and he's very good at that. His Achilles heel is tactics. But against a lesser team like Wales, and make no mistake, it is a lesser team, he doesn't need to be all that shrewd tactically because he has so much attacking talent. If Wales has a guy like Bale who can change the game, Belgium has like a half dozen of those guys. I mean, Kevin De Bruyne, Eden Hazard, Yannick Carrasco, Dries Mertens. I mean, not even all of those guys are all that famous, but all of them are difference makers. They have guys who can shut down a guy like Bale. They have a super strong middle with Rajan Angolan and Axel Witsel, where they can plump Marouane Fellaini in the middle as well if they need. I think their back line is coming together. I think them against Hungary is only getting started, and they're growing into this tournament, which is what champions tend to do.
Great. Thanks, Leander. It is time to vote for the rest of us. Based on the cases made by Joey and Leander, guys, who's going to move on to the semifinals to face our pick, Portugal? Alex?
I'm going to go Belgium.
Henry?
I'm not picking Wales or Belgium. I'm picking Joey. No, I'll go with Wales. I actually do like Wales.
Thank you.
Shahan?
Wales.
Guys, that's hilarious.
despite what I said earlier about Eden Hazard, I am going to go with Belgium, so we do have a tie. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with... should we just do
this,
a...
undermines the credibility of the entire Yahoo Corporation.
That's a sensitive subject, so let's not get into that. It'll officially go down. Maybe my vote will count twice. How's that?
I would just add, normally I would have picked Belgium in this case, but I picked Wales like well ahead of time to make the final. So it wasn't actually a personal attack on Leander that I picked Wales. I last podcast, I said Wales would go to the final. I'd kind of be, you know, second-guessing myself. But I do think Belgium's probably the better team right now. Probably not. Not even probably. They are the better team right now.
Well, hence your vote for Wales.
Yeah, I'm a man of conviction. What can I say?
All right. Officially, I'm going to put this down as Belgium over Wales. All right? Let's move on to the next quarterfinal. Up for debate. It's the big one. Germany against Italy. That's Saturday in Bordeaux. Alex has Germany. Shahan, you've got Italy, which is fitting since you are a resident Serie A enthusiast. Alex, why is Germany going to beat Italy in a major competition for the first time ever?
Well, let me preface this by saying that Italy have been fantastic in this competition. To me, they've been probably the most exciting team because no one really placed any expectations on them. They've come out of the gate. They beat Belgium. They've beat Spain. But what Italy has been succeeding by so far is on tactics. And in Joachim Löw, Conte's going to go up against a manager who is his tactical equivalent, or perhaps better, who has at his disposal a far better assemblage of individually talented players. We know Germany. We know the depth they have in every position. Their attack, I mean, the names you can run down, Draxler, Müller, Gomez, Goetze. It's insane the kind of rotation he has. I know we talk about the Italy curse. You and I were talking about it early this week that Germany has never beaten Italy in a meaningful competition. But I will say that in the 2009 U21 European Championships, Germany did beat Italy, and there are several members of this current squad on that team. Let me just finish up by saying this team does know how to beat Italy. They have everything it takes to do so, and I think they will.
Thanks, Alex. Shahan, your turn. Tell us why Antonio Conte and Italy are going to the Euros Final Four.
Well, I think the first 20 seconds of Alex's speech pretty much told you why Italy is going to beat Germany. But I'll say, you know, the back line gets plenty of credit, as well they should. And, you know, Chiellini, Bonucci, Barzagli, and Buffon, that's, they're just tried and tested champions. They've won together. There's solidarity there. There's a lot of understanding there. But that 3-5-2 system, I think these guys are really comfortable playing it. I think Conte has, you know, I was watching the match again this morning, and it's amazing how Italy, they don't actually press you as much as they contain you and take away all your options to play a ball. And to be able to do that against a team like Spain, where they have those type of players like Iniesta, Fabregas, who could not, frankly, find a pass. I think that this team is the best drilled team in the competition. So, yeah, Germany's probably the better team, but when you list off those guys like Gomez, sorry, but he's not in his prime. He does fit into what Germany's trying to do. Müller hasn't scored the European Championship still. I think Draxler's up and coming. He's still a little bit young. I think overall, Germany still hasn't proven to me that you can necessarily say that this team at this time in this competition, granted it's a little bit different than the World Cup team because, you know, Philipp Lahm's not there, Schweinsteiger is a little bit long in the tooth. I think it's a little bit of a team in flux. They're playing well. They're the favorites right now, in my opinion. But I think Italy right now, you know, it's their pragmatic approach that kind of, like, I wouldn't be surprised if they won. So you shouldn't be surprised either, frankly.
All right, thanks, Shahan. It's time to vote. Guys, based on what you just heard, who will advance to the to the semifinals from this quarterfinal between Germany and Italy? Leander, your vote.
I'm going to go against everything I stand for and go with Shahan and say Italy.
Joey?
I agree with a lot of what these guys said about Conte and how he's been the manager of the tournament and how Italy's been one of the stories of the tournament, but you know what? The machine-like efficiency of Germany has no place for feel-good stories. I'm going with the Mannschaft.
Henry?
Germany. They're pretty good.
I will go with Germany as well. As much as I've enjoyed Antonio Conte's success, it is going to come to an end. So the official FC Yahoo prediction is Germany over Italy. All right. We're down to the last quarterfinal. With host nation France against the story of the tournament, Iceland. Leander has France. Henry, the intern, has the underdog Icelanders. Leander, tell us why Les Bleus will put an end to the Cinderella story of Iceland.
Cheese, wine, gourmet cooking, Gola Conte, although he's...
They're playing soccer. It's not this cultural experience challenge.
I'm almost done. Paul Pogba, Dimitri Payet, Antoine Griezmann, Anthony Martial. Well, first, let's address the elephant in the room and say that France, even though they've won three of their four games, it's all been a little bit closer than they would have liked. They had an 89th minute winner in their opener. They didn't score in Albania until the 90th minute. They couldn't score against Switzerland, and against Ireland, they were down for almost an hour. That's obviously concerning. But at the same time, they've managed to find winners in those games. They figured stuff out. I think they're starting to hit their stride a little bit. Obviously, it's problematic that their defense is already a little bit thin, and Adil Rami is suspended for the quarterfinal, as is N'Golo Kanté. But there's so much talent in that team. I love the story of Iceland, but their progress ends here.
Wow, no buzzer. Way to go, Leander.
I could fit a buzzer beater in there if you want.
No, it's all right. All right, Henry, your turn on Iceland. Tell us why we're going to hear more shrieks from the Icelandic commentator when Iceland upsets France.
Yeah, well, we definitely are. And, I mean, so everybody's talking about Iceland, the story, and it's this tiny island and this fairy tale. But that's ignoring that they've been good. Like, they've executed a very good defensive game plan. There's no better example than the England game. But my argument is honestly less a pro-Iceland argument and more an anti-France argument. As Leander mentioned, they have struggled, but it's the way they've struggled that's important. Like, this French midfield on an individual level is unreal. They're so good. I love it. But I absolutely hate the roles they're in. Like, you have Blaise Matuidi picking up the ball and trying to create from deep. And I know Conte is suspended, as you said, but, like, he was in this holding role because they had nobody else in this holding role when his real asset is his running and all the ground he covers going forward. It's a totally unbalanced midfield. And you know who else had the exact same problem against Iceland? England. They were playing in the second half with Wayne Rooney and Jack Wilshere and Dele Alli as a midfield, no holding player, no player that can create from deep, which you need against an Iceland team that's going to sit back. So I think France is going to have a very similar problem, and they're going to be frustrated against Iceland. And Iceland can get a goal like on that long throw or on some sort of set piece. I think they can absolutely do it.
Did Henry just get my extra time?
He did.
Yeah, exactly.
He did. All right, it's time to vote. Who do we think will go through? Germany or France or Iceland to face the winner of the Germany-Italy semifinal, which we said is going to be Germany. So, Alex.
Got to go France.
France. Joey.
I want this Iceland story to continue. I really do, but Leander is absolutely right. There's just too much talent here, and for as much as they've looked kind of shaky this tournament, I can't see France not winning on their home soil in this matchup.
Shahan?
First of all, I want to say Henry definitely has a point in terms of, you know, France is very similar to England in the sense that their roles are just in flux, and they definitely haven't quite lived up to the potential. They are the more talented team. It's hard not to pick France, but boy, I would not be surprised if Iceland pulled off another upset. It's just these guys haven't looked comfortable, and they've relied on last-second winners, like Leander was mentioning. It's been kind of disappointing, frankly. They haven't improved over time.
So is that a pick?
So is that a pick? Yeah, what was...
Yeah. I said France.
Oh, okay. Oh. All right. Sorry.
You said France, but managed to pick Iceland at the same time. That was amazing.
Tyrell.
I am going to pick... France, our official, this is their first clean sweep. So the official FC Yahoo prediction is France over Iceland. To recap these quarterfinal picks, we have Poland over Portugal, Belgium over Wales, Germany over Italy, and France over Iceland. How do we feel about those picks?
I think it should be noted here that unlike my country, the Netherlands, I am 2-0.
I think I would also like to note that one of the reasons I have a feeling Leander was so anti-Iceland is because of what Iceland did to the Netherlands in qualifying.
That plays a large part in it, yes.
I would like to applaud Henry for a compelling argument about the Icelanders, and I would also like to point out the best Twitter account of this tournament, besides Yahoo Soccer and our own personal accounts, is RV Grapevine, I believe, the Reykjavik Grapevine. They do hilarious stuff. You guys check them out.
All right, guys, we got to go. be sure to subscribe to the FC Yahoo Soccer Podcast on iTunes and check out our blog, FC Yahoo on Yahoo Sports. For Shahan Ahmed, Alex Baker, Joey Galino, Leander Charlakins, and our intern, Henry Bushnell, and, of course, Alex, the producer. He waves to you guys. I'm Joe Lago. This has been the FC Yahoo Soccer Podcast. Thank you for listening. Bouncing soul, someone can-